I want to thank Katie and Ryan and Jesse and Bob. They preached my sermon. So we can be dismissed. You heard this morning from each of them. The music, I didn't have anything to do with picking out the music, but they couldn't have picked out more perfect songs for the message that I think God wants you to hear this morning. I didn't have anything to do with Jesse's prayer, but Jesse prayed what I want to talk about. And I didn't have anything to do with Bob's announcement about the pastor, but that leads right into what I want to talk about and what I feel led to talk about. Forever God is faithful. He is a solid rock. I'll read the scripture in a moment, but I'm going to start with a part of the scripture. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength or power of His might. As Bob related, Thursday morning, the men's breakfast, we witnessed firsthand an attack of the enemy. Rob Vanderford delivered a wonderful lesson for the men and reminded us of how the enemy cometh not, but for to steal, for to kill, for to destroy. He talked about the deceptions and the scheming of the enemy, and how the enemy seeks to continually weaken believers and by fomenting divisive issues among believers, which take our focus off of the real issues, off of the more important issues of life. How the enemy continually schemes to entrap you and you and you and me in his web of sin. Upon conclusion of Rob's lesson, Pastor Rich stood to add or to take the opportunity to further expand on the thoughts that had been raised and on the scripture that had been spoken when, bam, the enemy struck. And Rich went down. Satan struck with a vicious attack on Rich's body. The battle was joined. Providentially, Jesse, who's with Riscotti, was present. Medical aid was summoned and arrived within 3 minutes. But more importantly, they determined later that Rich's gallbladder had stopped functioning or had malfunctioned and scheduled surgery. And they performed the surgery laparoscopically, and he's home resting. Now you may be thinking, well, this wasn't really an attack of Satan. Pastor Rich's gallbladder just malfunctioned. You know, we have health problems, and things happen like that. But let me assure you, the enemy had a hand in disrupting the message of this meeting. Do you know what? Satan could not prevail against the unified prayers of 17 righteous men who immediately weren't asked, weren't encouraged, immediately rose in prayer and laid hands on Rich and fought all of Satan's wrath, not with our own strength, but with the strength of our Father in heaven and of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I'm convinced that the peace that settled over that meeting was a peace that surpasses all understanding in our own mortal flesh. But it was a peace of the Holy Spirit ministering through those men to Rich, to Jesse, to the Riscati personnel, and ultimately the surgeons. Satan cannot prevail when prayer is raised in the name of Jesus. The united prayer and praise overcame the attempts to divide and to scatter the believers. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 is our scriptural reference this morning. It's on page 979 in the Pew Bibles, if you'd like to look at it. Although I'm going to read it from the first version that I ever read it from. 30 years ago, when I came to know the Lord, I went and bought a King James Bible and studied it and studied it and studied it. And this scripture stood out for me and became my weapon against the enemy. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand, to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I don't know how many of you have read that scripture before or meditate on it. But our battle is not just the realm of physical senses. Our real battle is in the heavenly realm. Spiritual strength and courage are very necessary for spiritual warfare. It says, put on therefore the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. All our sufficiency, all of our sufficiency is in God. Not in our own strength, but in God. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and have it abundantly. Ephesians 6 in the beginning says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Sounds like a battle of unwinnable proportions. Surely God doesn't expect you and me to enlist to fight in such a conflict. It's overwhelming. But wait. Is God talking? No, God is commanding. Therefore, you take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the end evil day. And having done all else, to stand firm. For a minute there, I thought he was talking about me. Surely he can't expect me to stand against Satan. He must be talking about somebody else. He must be talking about King David or Samson. No, God's very direct. He's talking about you, and he's talking about me. Well, if he's talking to all of us, then I guess we better understand how he expects us to overcome the enemy. What is this armor that he talks about? The armor that will allow us to stand against Satan. The first command is stand therefore. Stand therefore. He mentions standing four times. It's not something that we just take lightly. It's a command. Stand up therefore. Having fastened on the belt of truth, having girt up your loins with the truth, as the King James says. What is truth? What are we supposed to gird up our loins with? Jesus says, or praise the Father in John 17:17, that the Lord, that God sanctify them through the truth, all believers. That he sanctify us, you and me, through the truth. And then he says, Father, thy word is truth. What's this? This is the word of God. This is truth. Gird up your loins with the truth. Don't put this on a shelf to gather dust. Read it and study it. This is your quiver. This is the truth. You know, colleges and universities throughout the United States, in fact, my own alma mater, audaciously proclaim with quoted scripture above their doors, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's a perversion of the scripture of the Word of God. Yes, that is what the Word of God says, but that's not all of what the Word of God says. Colleges profess and professors teach that they are the source of truth. Listen to them, sit at their feet, and you'll know the answers to all the problems that you'll face. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. Not that some of the things they teach aren't the truth. They stumble upon it every once in a while. But the scripture says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. As Jesus in John 8:31-32 told his disciples, if you abide in my word, again, the word of God, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's where it's from. See how conveniently the universities leave out the important part? What's the source of that truth? The source is the Word of God. There are not many universities and colleges that teach scriptural truth in this day and age. They may glance on it, they may hit it occasionally in a course. But courses are replete with information that is not the truth. It's not biblically aligned with the Word of God. It's not scriptural. It's been perverted by the enemy. Where you're going to find it is in the Word of God, and only in the Word of God. If you hear something and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't believe it. Don't rest on it. Don't proclaim it as truth. It may be partially correct. It may be partially the truth. Just as the scripture is a direct quote from the Bible. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's an accurate, correct statement, but it's not a complete statement. And so often what we hear and what is proffered as truth to us may be accurate, may be complete, but it's not, may be accurate, but it's not complete. It lacks veracity. And the Holy Spirit clearly can tell you in your spirit that what you're hearing isn't the truth. If we only are sensitive to what is the truth, because we spend time in the Word of God. The Bible is the standard of truth. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, He bestows on you His righteousness. Because next we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Satan faced that breastplate once before at the grave. And the grave couldn't hold Jesus because of His righteousness. And Satan had no power over Him. And Jesus rose victorious from the grave. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God looks at you and sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because your righteousness is as filthy rags. But He doesn't see that because you're washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you have the right, therefore, to stand in front of Satan and claim that righteousness, because you're not claiming your righteousness. You're claiming the righteousness that defeated him in the grave. That's the righteousness that you're standing up in. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not your might. Romans 5:17 says, "For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ." When you put on that free gift, that breastplate of righteousness, Satan no longer sees the weak, deflated human that you once were. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he's already been defeated by Christ's righteousness. He doesn't want to face that battle again because he knows he'll lose. The armor is continued. "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Or the King James Version says, again, my favorite, "and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Are you ready, in season and out, to give an account of your salvation? Can you lead someone to a saving grace and belief in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? It's really very straightforward and very simple. Four scriptures are all that are needed. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. Me, you, and the person you're talking to. If they can acknowledge that they've sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that's the first step. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." in sin, we will pay the wage of death. But by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are given eternal life with the Father. Romans 5:28. For God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you, and for you, and for me. He paid the price that no man could pay for a debt that he did not owe. And Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of man, that anyone should boast. It is a free gift of God, saving faith and trusting alone in Jesus Christ for your salvation. Each person that receives salvation receives it in accordance with those scriptures. We have to acknowledge that we're sinners. We have to ask forgiveness. We have to accept the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, that he died for my sin and for your sin. And we have to ask him to come in and be our Lord and our Savior. It's not difficult. It doesn't require a lot of memorization. It just requires us to let the Holy Spirit move through us to be God's mouthpiece. Next is a shield of faith. Absolute faith, as in Ephesians 2:8. You know, how many of you would agree with me that this is a chair? Raise your hand. Will you agree that this is a chair? Will you agree that this chair is designed to hold my weight? Will you agree that that chair is going to hold me up if I sit in it? It's designed for that purpose. But am I trusting that chair to hold me up? No, I'm not. I'm not sitting in it. How can I trust that chair to hold me up? I've got to what? I've got to sit in it. I've not only got to sit in it, but I've got to get my feet off the ground. I've got to wholly rest in this chair. Now I've shown myself, I've satisfied my faith that this chair holds me up. Well, that's what faith's all about. It's trusting alone in Jesus Christ for your salvation. Just like I'm trusting that chair, the only way I can prove that I'm trusting that chair is to put all of my weight on it and see it hold me up. Well, that's what we have to do with our faith in Jesus Christ and in his death on the cross, is we've got to put all our weight on it. We can't rely or depend on anything else. No good works, no putting money in the offering plate. That's not going to help. And that's not going to substantiate that faith. It's only when we trust alone in Jesus Christ for our salvation. When we trust alone in his death on the cross. And so when we pick up that shield of faith, we're picking up only Jesus Christ and putting him out there against the enemy, against Satan. He's going to protect us against all the fiery darts of the wicked. Not anything that we do. We can't build a wall around us to protect us. Symbolically, Jesus Christ is our shield. And it's our faith in him. And it's in the name of Jesus alone that Satan will respond. And that we can overcome his attacks. In the name of Jesus alone. Not in my name, not in your, not the President of the United States, not the military, not the Marines, none of that is going to save us from the ultimate attack of the enemy. But you speak to him in the name of Jesus, and he's heard that name before. You walk in full faith, trusting alone in Jesus Christ, and all he sees is Jesus. All he sees is Jesus. And I guarantee you, he's been beaten by Jesus once. He doesn't want to face him again. And he will turn tail and run. That's the shield of faith. Second Corinthians 10:5. Paul admonishes believers to cast down every imagination and high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, God created a marvelous thing when he created man. He created us in his own image. But he gave us a special gift. He gave us a mind, reason, the ability to think, the ability to reason, the ability to create in our mind. But our mind is nothing but a sinking pit into which thoughts pour. And thoughts come from all sources. And it's what you do with those thoughts that makes the difference. Take every thought captive. Don't dwell on the negative thoughts. Cast them out. That's your responsibility. God's not going to cast them out for you. He gave you that responsibility. That's why he's telling you to take every thought captive. That's your job. Take every thought captive. Every imagination and high thing. Anything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, and bring it into obedience to Christ. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, with the truth, what are you supposed to do with it? Cast it out. Don't dwell on it. Don't give it root. Don't let it take hold. Don't let that seed germinate. You can't control what you look at. You can't always control what you read. You can't control always what you hear. But you can control what you do with it. Don't let it germinate and fester and poison the well. Cast it out. Thoughts come to you from all directions. Godly thoughts are mostly good. But sometimes, little g godly thoughts masquerade as God's thoughts, when in reality, they're not God's thoughts at all. But they're touchy-feely, feel-good thoughts. They seem good. But do they stand in the way of your doing something God's calling you to do? If they do, if they stand in the way of what God has shown you in his word, of what he's called you to do, you know, laying in bed on Saturday morning feels good. And I've worked hard all week, and I need that rest. And if God calls me to get up and do something, I better do it. But I say, well, God, you make me feel so good laying here in bed. I'll meditate on you. I'll spend time in your word. But there's that little voice, that still small voice of God that says, there's someone somewhere that needs to hear my word, that needs to hear that Jesus loves them. Will you go? He's not going to yell at you. But you'll hear the voice. And you get to decide how you respond. And he's not going to condemn you if you don't respond, if you stay in bed and relax. God is a God of forgiveness. He'll remind you of it to the point to where you'll come to feel conviction about it and you'll repent. And you'll confess it as sin. But he's not going to cause a bomb to go off in your house. Listen for that still small voice. Be obedient to that still small voice. The more time you spend in the truth, the more you're able to know the still small voice is God. Of course, there are those thoughts that are just straight out of the pit of hell. You don't have to worry about those. They come in and you know that this isn't God. But it's interesting how you say, well, you know, it won't hurt if I think about that a little bit, or if I watch that movie, or if I read that book, or if I listen to that tape. I'll just ignore the bad parts. You're letting that seed germinate. You're letting that seed take root. And eventually, it will affect you. Eventually, it will poison the well. Take every thought captive. You're in control of what you dwell on and what you meditate on. It's your responsibility to change the mind channel. God doesn't hold the remote. He puts you in charge. You got to change the channel. The helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation protects the mind. Your knowledge and faith grow and increase just as Jesus promised. That the Spirit of truth will dwell in you. Jesus promised in John when he spoke to his disciples at the end, the Last Supper. He said, I'll send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to dwell in you, to lead you into all knowledge and all truth. You need to welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, his promise is that the Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit is in you. You need to let him guide you. You need to listen. You need to seek him for knowledge and understanding. How to interpret the Word of God, how to read the Word of God. Pray that the Holy Spirit would give you knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. Ask for help from the giver. And finally, the sword of the Spirit. And that one's really easy. That is the Word of God. Meditate on the Word day and night, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, pray for one another. Pray for every member of this congregation, every person that you know, even those that you don't know. Pray for all saints that the enemy would not gain a foothold, that everyone, when they wake up every morning, just as you get up, and you put on your clothes, put on your armor. Every day, put on your armor before you go out. Take ye therefore the whole armor of God. You also need to get up each morning to face the challenges of the spiritual world. Don't try and face it in your own strength. Face it with what God has given you, His armor. His armor has defeated the enemy. His armor will protect you against the slings and arrows, against the fiery darts of the wicked. Not yours, His. Be strong, therefore. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, that you might be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked. Stand, therefore, stand, putting on the whole armor of God. Gird up your loins with the truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the sword of the Spirit, and with all prayer and supplication, go forth and be victorious over the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise God.